The morning lesson is taken from the 19th chapter of the Revelation, and I read the first 7 verses. And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. May we pray. Eternal God, who speaks to us through lawgiver and prophet and man of wisdom, and through apostles, and most finally through our Lord Jesus Christ, speak to us this day in the reading and the hearing of this strong word. May it lay strong claim on our minds and wills this day, that we may think thy thoughts after thee, and that we may find our peace in the discovery of thy will for us. O Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world, we confess that we bear a load of guilt. And we thank thee that we do not need to go on bearing this load. Wilt thou also take away our guilt? And as we make both particular and common confession with prayers of thanksgiving, even so do we come to intercede on behalf of others. Be thou to those who are comfortless the great comforter, and to those who are lonely the one who can be the companion so that they need never be alone. And with those who are overborne with the cares of life, the one who will speak the word, be not anxious. To those who have lost their way, be thou the shepherd of the way. And, O God, as we pray for one another, we reach beyond the walls of this campus to the larger world about us and pray that the spirit of one who came to preach good news to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind, liberation to those in captivity, and the one who came to preach the year of the Lord's deliverance, that this Spirit may descend upon us in double portion, that we may be ministers of thy purpose in his name. Amen. At this halfway point in the eighth decade of the 20th century, I find it instructive and helpful on occasion to read a book which came from the last decade of the first century of the Christian era. John the Apostle was a prisoner of the empire. His only offense was that he was a proclaimer of the gospel, and the despised Kaiser cult had arisen in Asia Minor as a countervailing force demanding that Christians would swear allegiance to Caesar as God. John had been imprisoned 90 miles out on an island, and there he was permitted in that situation, which was truly a situation of extremity for him, to witness God's conflict with every countervailing sovereignty. And in this 19th chapter of the Revelation, John sees into heaven itself and observes that Rome has fallen, that the great whore that corrupted the earth with her fornication has been judged, and the blood of the martyrs has been avenged. I think we would make a mistake to assume that it is for joy over this kind of fate that has come to the forces of evil that the multitudes in heaven enter into a hallelujah chorus. Rather, it is that God's reign has triumphed, that righteousness and truth and justice and mercy have prevailed. And so John says, I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice. And on this day, let us affirm that the Lord God omnipotent reigns. And for this reason, let us be glad and rejoice. We may take little comfort these days in the song of Browning's Pippa, that God is in his heaven and all's right with the world. But God help us never to forget that he does yet rule. And every countervailing sovereignty that rears its head will at last be put down. This is our faith, and we serve the God who is not one who is a kind of a God emeritus, who set the world in motion and now sits back to wait for it all to run down. Nor has he died. He is alive and active and is working out his purposes in this world. And he's on his throne. He has not abandoned this world. He has not turned it over to anybody else. There's a bit of heresy going around these days that would suggest that there is a personification of evil that has equal strength with God. And one of the contemporary cop-outs for Christians and other human beings is to want to blame all the trouble and all the problems on the devil. I have no personal problem with a belief in the reality of evil. I don't even have a personal problem with the personification of evil. I think his satanic majesty has a local address. But I do believe that this personified evil is not the equal of God, and that that force will eventually be put down. The Lord God omnipotent reigns. Well, you may say, I don't have any quarrel with that. Some of you may with my theology. But I don't have any basic quarrel with your affirmation that the Lord God reigns. But what does this have to do with us where we are this September day? It's fine to speak of the cosmic purposes of God. It is fine to affirm the sovereign lordship of God. But what does this say to me where I hurt? I'd like to suggest that we can and we ought this day to be glad and rejoice, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns over some circumstances that confront you and that confront me and you and I, separately or corporately, cannot deal with these problems successfully. The first one to which I call brief attention is expressed in a little three-letter word, sin. Sin is the biggest problem you and I have. Sin is the biggest problem God has. Sin is the biggest problem in this world. And we are powerless to deal with the problem of sin. We find ways, and we've tried all kinds of ways, but we found that each of them is a dead-end street that ends in defeat. But we can be glad and rejoice this day because God has dealt with sin. He has dealt with sin finally and victoriously in the cross of Jesus Christ. And he commands. He recommends his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There is a second issue that comes to us in different forms, but it comes to us all. And I refer to that which we might subsume under the heading of sorrow. There is a proverb in the East, I'm told, that says that every home will have its hush. And sooner or late, every one of us encounters the reality of sorrow. And the weight of the sorrow and the helplessness we encounter in the face of the sorrow can defeat us, except for one reality, that the Lord God omnipotent reigns over sorrow. He is the God of whom the psalmist spoke when he said, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He is the one who came and who comes to us in the incarnate Lord, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. He is the one who is our great high priest, who was tested in every way as we are tested, who knows the feeling of our infirmities, and yet he's without sin. He is the one who comes to us in the blessed Holy Spirit, who gets into the boat with us, and who is the paraclete of every path of sorrow we have to walk. Therefore, we can say this day, let us be glad and rejoice, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns over sorrow. Sin and sorrow. And there's a third one to which I call brief attention, and that is the reality of death. The wisest of the Greek philosophers said, oh, that some man would come from God, or that some God would come from man. Some God would come to man who could take the dimness from our eyes and show us if there is something beyond the grave. Some of us have known, and some of us have known very recently, the sharp pain of death. We know what it is to sigh for the touch of a hand that is vanished and the sound of a voice that is still. And yet, even when our hearts break before an open grave, we can say with Paul, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He reigns over death. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I am the one who was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I am the resurrection and the life. If any man live and believe in me, he shall never die. And though he were dead, yet shall he live. He must reign, said Paul, until he has put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy that shall be defeated is death. And though you and I and all humankind must meet that enemy, we can meet that enemy as a defeated enemy. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. He reigneth over death. Let us therefore this day be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. And let us sing the hymn of victory, number 152. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And to him be the glory and the majesty, dominion and power, world without end.